Never played with a player like that on this team.
Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Blumenthal, and with me, as always, is the doctor, Frederick Pfeiffer. What's going on, big guy?
Well, Mark, I'm pretty frustrated, I got to tell you, because I've been arguing with Twitter on Twitter, and you can't get into these arguments. You really can't, because it really lessens your quality of life. But I've been on this argument with this CTS Patton. And I can't even believe what this guy's arguing. First of all, he's a big Tibbs lover. And he's been arguing how great Tibbs is, Tibbs this, Tibbs that, you know, for the last couple of days. And there's several big Tibbs defenders there on Twitter. And, you know, I thought any Tibbs defenders out there would have been erased. The thought of bringing this guy back with his, you know, his caveman offense would have been, you know, pretty much ended after that pathetic game six that I never want to relive again, where we again failed to score, 85 points. But they're out there. They're out there, and, you know, they're blaming the front office for a lack of talent. So his general point is Tibbs has never had more talent than the opposition in any of these playoffs. I completely disagree that he had less talent this year against the Cavs. It was LeBron and his band of idiots. You basically had Love out. You had Irving, who was completely hobbled and unable to really play for much of the series. And, you know, everybody after that, I mean, really, they're that much more talented than the Chicago Bulls.
I don't think that the Wizards, when they beat us necessarily, were more talented than we were. I'm trying to think if there was other ones. I mean, we crumbled when Rose went down, but, I mean, that was when Rose went down. I mean, that was not, you know, whatever. I mean, The fact is that I agree with you, Fred. Keep going, man. Keep going.
All right, so then I asked, and this is the question I asked, and then I'd like to get your opinion on it. Let's pretend you're at the Y before game six, okay? With the talent pool on the Cavs and on the Bulls before game six, keep in mind that Irving was hobbled at that point, barely walking around. Walking around like a tin man. The guy, he had a horrible series for the most part outside of game one. Keep in mind at that point, who else was hurt? Well, Paul was hobbled a little bit, obviously, but you know their team had far more. Shumpert was a little bit hobbled. LeBron
played really well though.
Yeah, he did play well. Let's just pretend you're sitting with the Cavs team and the Bulls team were at the Y with those guys before game six. Who do you pick? Give me your top 10 picks.
Wait, what? If they're at the Y?
Yeah, you're at the Y or the local gym or the wherever.
Yes.
at a basketball court. And you
these
have
guys
to
are, okay, you're telling me to rank the players, the starting
yes.
lineup of the team
yes.
in terms of quality of player. Well, we're going to say that number one is LeBron James.
There you go. There you go. Fine. I'm going to agree with you there.
Number two is Kyrie Irving.
No.
Okay, fine. You're right.
No.
Okay, game six, you're right. Game six. Well, no, Pau sucked too, man. I mean, Jimmy Butler, maybe?
Yes.
Derek?
Is it even a question? It's Jimmy Butler. The answer is Jimmy Butler or Rose. Rose had a great series up until that last game and the second half of game five. I mean, people forget. Let me give you.
Kyrie Irving was big though in Game Six. I don't know, man. I don't think you're giving Kyrie enough credit. He was hobbled, but I mean, at the same time, he's played well. He's played well in this last series.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, Rose was averaging 25 points, 6.5 assists, 5 rebounds, while shooting 42% from three against the Cavs. This is after Game Four. Came back. He's coming back off of back-to-back 30-point games while averaging 39 minutes for the series, scoring 14 fourth-quarter points, including the game winner in Game 3, and then 7 fourth quarter points and a tying basket in the last seconds of game 4 before LeBron James hit a winner. So that's what he was doing after 4 games. Okay? I can't believe you're making this argument. So you think you would still have Irving at that point ahead of Rose?
You're probably right. I'd probably take Rose.
Not only that, I'd take Butler. Those two are my next two picks.
I was still scared of Irving, though. I was still scared of Irving, and he showed it. He was good.
Well, I'm sure they were scared of Butler, and I'm sure they were scared of Rose. All right, so then I'll give you Irving as the fourth. After that, who do you got?
Oh, Jesus. Well, not Gasol. I mean, who do I got after that?
I would still take Gasol. I heard Gasol. I would still take Taj. I would still take Noah. I would still take
I wouldn't take... After the way that Shumpert played in this series, and really the way that Smith played too, but more so Shumpert, I would take Shumpert over most of those guys. I would probably take Shumpert over Taj, at least going into game 6 for sure.
Oh,
after the
man.
By that point, yeah, I'd take Shumpert over Taj for sure. In this series, fine.
Thompson.
Maybe Smith. Thompson was playing great too, though, man. Thompson probably outplayed Taj.
Yeah, I probably agree. Would concur with that. I mean, Thompson, frankly, outplayed Noah and Taj.
Yeah, so they really, at the end of the day, they did have more talent, but...
No, they didn't. Our talent didn't play up to their potential. They didn't have more talent. You can't tell me...
Well, Pau Gasol was injured. That's a big problem. I mean, look, Kyrie Irving was playing. Pau Gasol did not play.
All right, before the series, which you had said the Bulls versus Noah versus Thompson, I mean, who's got the advantage there? We got the defending defensive player of the year. I mean, obviously
yeah,
he wasn't
the
same
was
player.
You knew that he was very much defending. That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, and Nico. I mean, most people would say Nico was much better than anybody that the Cavs had coming off the bench. And
we thought we had
high
going in. You're right, but when the series started, it became clear that the Cavs had more depth than us. And kudos to their front office, man. They made that during the year. They created that depth. They don't have a chance against Golden State, but whatever.
No, they're going to get destroyed against Golden State. I can't wait to see it happen. Golden State's my new favorite team outside of the Bulls. I love that team. I love the way they play basketball. I love the way they shoot. They do everything that I want a Bulls team to do. And for everybody who's arguing that the Bulls
shoot
can't
threes.
Get better. Huh?
Shoot threes.
Yeah, they shoot threes, and they have outside shooters who shoot the ball well. I mean, and for everybody who's arguing that, you know, the Bulls can't get any better, look what Steve Kerr did. I mean, he took a team that basically won 50-some games, 50 games, I believe, on the dot, maybe it was 51, lost in the first round last year with Mark Jackson. He took that team and made them arguably one of the best teams in NBA history. They had 67 wins. They're just dominating in the playoffs with a few hiccups against Memphis. Outside of a few hiccups against Memphis, I mean, what they're doing is incredible. And it's basically the same darn team. You know, I mean, I don't know, you know, I just hear a lot of people saying, you know, the Bulls can't get any better. Bulls can't any better. I think there's a huge chance for them to get better.
I agree.
I don't think Nico was horrible in the playoffs. He was horrible on any measure. He was terrible. You don't think Nico can turn it around next year?
You really call that, by the way, Fred. I'd like to say kudos to you. You were calling it at the end of the season, long before the playoffs started, that people saying that Nico would be a big contributor, and he got the chance. You didn't think he was even going to play, but he got the chance, and he didn't do shit.
Yeah, I was shocked he actually got the chance, and there's no doubt. It was pretty clear to me, like I said, during the season, he didn't shoot the ball that well. He was 41-30. Or 40-31, excuse me, were his shooting metrics. He didn't shoot it well, and he got the vast majority of his points in that fantastic March at the free throw line. That's a talent. There's no doubt about it. It's something that you should respect. But, he, you know, those guys don't get calls in the playoffs. But what bothered me about Nico, again, another example of what I've been saying, didn't utilize him correctly. Nico has a fantastic post-up game. But they rarely went to him in the post. You rarely saw him go to the post. He rarely was utilized in the post. Why? Because Tibbs has the imagination of a caveman. You know, they don't try to utilize all their talent, which they do have. Nico could easily take in smaller threes into the post. And he did it, I think I counted it one time. It resulted in a missed shot that led to a basket rebound. I think I remember seeing it once in the entire playoff series. But again, that's an example of what I'm trying to say. You don't think Nico next year can play better in the playoffs? I think he can play much better. He can't play any worse. Let's put it that way. So there's a chance for a big delta for the Bulls to get better. I think McDermott, and contrary to popular belief, I'm probably the last Bulls fan to say this. He's one of the best shooters I've ever seen in college. That's an ability you don't lose. And for people to judge this guy as a bust after 300-plus minutes, you cannot judge anyone on 300. I think he had 320-some minutes this season in the NBA. You can't judge a player on that. You just can't. I mean, that's like half the minutes that Snell had his first year. That's like less than the minutes that Butler had his first year. Butler shot 40% from the field, 18% from three. I mean, Korver shot under 40% with twice as many minutes, I believe, in his rookie year. You can't make judgments on a player in that many minutes. It's insanity. So especially the way Tibbs utilizes shooters. Let them sit down for an entire quarter, and I'll bring them in the middle of the second quarter, which is, you know, some of the dumbest things you can possibly do. I just had it with this guy in his caveman ways. And then all the people defending him, too. One more thing, Mark, before I give you a chance to speak, because I really do want to get this on my chest. Everybody's saying, well, you know, Tibbs, he's in high demand. Why are they holding on to him and screwing him over? Bulls don't owe this guy anything. They signed him to a contract. He's under contract for the next 2 years. If they don't want to coach him, they could hold – what do you want, to fire him the day after the season so he can go to wherever he – well, let's just say, why not? If he's such a great coach and he's in so high demand, you should be able to extract a draft pick out of him. That's what Boston did for Doc Rivers. They got a number one pick out of him. Well, Orlando, allegedly, according to all the Tibbs lovers, wanted him, and so did New Orleans. Let the bidding begin. But guess what? It was a lie. It was vastly overstated, according to Casey Johnson, his love in Orlando. So the only organization that had a remote interest in him was New Orleans. Denver had zero interest. Obviously, OKC had zero interest because they hired a coach before the playoffs were over. So, I mean, yeah, really high demand. I don't think he's in, as I said before, I don't think he's in as high demand as you think. Who would want a guy who did nothing but badmouth management through his mouthpiece, Jeff Van Gundy, complain when they just tried to put a level of sanity on this guy's minutes? And why would you want a guy to come in and run your young players into the ground? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I know the guy's got a ton of love. I have no more love for Thibodeau. I thought this year he was a joke coaching with Heinrich minutes he gave to that bum in January for what he did to McDermott, not developing the young players. I don't think Nico would even got a chance to win all those injuries this front court. I'm done talking for a while. I've blabbered on and on. And I know I'm hated for this opinion, but I'm done with him. He's dead to me. And you know what he was dead to me? He was dead to me in game six against Milwaukee when this moron still had Noah in the game in Q4 on the court with the threat of getting injured when you're up 40. A guy with a knee history of knee problems, and he's got him out in the court running around in a game that's already been decided. How freaking stupid is that? There's no justification
typical,
for it.
Typical.
Yeah, it's typical. Man. Guy doesn't learn. The guy doesn't learn. Go ruin some other young players. Go ruin.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm good with Tibbs. You know, I mean, he's, you know, people want to give him respect, and that's, if you want to give him respect for what he's done here, I think we can. I think a lot, there's too many apologists for him. There's too many people out there that don't acknowledge the flaws that he's had, which, like you said, were so evident this year. But they've been evident the whole way. Certain ones, they've all been evident, but this year they were screaming. And, I mean, just look, it was clear to me that you had a defiant employee. And if anybody shouldn't be defiant, it's the coach. This was a distraction all year. The coach was a distraction all year. You never see that. You never see that. It's very, very rare that a coach is such a distraction to an organization. It's very rare. So the fact is, he's a leader. He should not be. He should be the one leading the team, showing them how to behave, showing them how to not draw attention to themselves. You know, you could say what you want about Jeff Van Gundy and what he said, but at the end of the day, Thibodeau always could have come out there and said something to support the Bulls and support the management. He never did. He could have done even if they had problems, he could have come out there and said the right things and not made it just so, I mean, just, that's just, he added fuel to the fire, if anything. He made it worse. He made it worse. And what was it, when we played, wasn't it Milwaukee? I saw a post on it just the other day, but when he played Joakim Noah, the exact amount of minutes because of a minute restriction, he played them all back-to-back minutes, so he didn't play it all in the fourth quarter. No, Oklahoma City. It was against Oklahoma City on national TV. I mean, like, defiant acts like that are not acceptable for a coach.
It's like a child.
They're not acceptable. It's like a child.
It's like a fourth grader who's pounding or a third grader. And everybody's like, well, just how do you know? So I had this argument. How do you know? Tibbs never said anything publicly. You know, it was Jeff Van Gundy who said it. Yeah, this is what happened. Tibbs called his buddy, complained about all these restrictions that management was trying, these same restrictions was trying to put on him. You know, you got guys coming off injuries and surgery, and they're trying to put minutes restrictions. God forbid they try to add some sanity to this moron and his minutes and his ways of minutes. Acting like it's 1999. I swear to goodness, if I hear this guy talk about what Jordan did in 94, Jackson played him 40-plus minutes, that's 20 freaking years ago. Knock it off. I mean, how many freaking times do I get to hear this nonsense? It's just like these old-timers that tell me about Cy Young throwing 500-plus wins or how pitchers in the 60s used to throw 9 innings. That's not the way it's done anymore. Players are bigger, stronger, faster. They get injured more often. And studies show that if you're playing fatigued, you're more likely to get hurt. Knock it off. This stupid idiot. What is stupid? It's science. It's science, jackass. And all his defenders, with Jeff Van Gundy and all these morons trying to say that this is smart. It's not stinking smart. You know what's smart? It's when you got a 40-point lead to get your stinking starters off the floor. You know, this wouldn't even be an argument. If Noah tore his ACL in the fourth quarter of that game, up 40, would there be anybody out there arguing about Tibbs should still be coach? Would
it's
there
just
be
because
anybody?
Nothing happened. But you heard people saying that when Derek tore his ACL when we were up 20 to the 76ers with 2 minutes left. So people said it then, but people aren't saying it now because he didn't injure anybody. But Noah this season was not good. I don't know what happened, but he wasn't good. And we didn't do anything to really curb the strain on him at all this year. This whole year, we didn't do anything. He still played major minutes. It was clear that he wasn't nearly as good. He wasn't even effective. So if you're not effective, put people in situations where they can succeed. Don't just keep playing them and letting them get their confidence down even more. I mean, Joakim Noah had no confidence in his game at all by the end of the season. To some degree, you got to put that on tips. He's the coach. Put your player in positions to succeed. Challenge him. I mean, he was unpredictably predictable, that Tom Thibodeau. He did ridiculous things, but yet he was predictable in what he did. He would do the same freaking things over and over and over again, no matter if they worked or not.
I don't know. I'm not saying Tibbs is a bad coach. Obviously, he reminds me of Bobby Knight, right?
He has good qualities.
He has good qualities. He's an excellent defensive coach.
He's not a good all-around coach.
No. I don't think you're a good all-around coach if management has to. I heard in the last Bull Zone, I heard Will say this, and I completely agree with him. Are you a good coach if management has to insist on a minutes limit on Joakim Noah after he comes back from injury? Are you really a good coach? Despite everything else, that's like I say with a parent. You could be a good parent 360 days out of the year. If 4 days you're letting your kids play in traffic, on 294. Are you a good parent? Hell no. There's some things this guy does that just makes it to the point. He's not overall a great coach. He's just not. And his playoff record shows it. You know, I got to read you a quote here, Mark. I found this in Wilbon, an article of Wilbon during the series, and I missed this. I don't know if you caught it or if you missed it too, but I'd like to get your opinion on it if you don't mind. I'm going to read this real quick. Where are we here? If the Bulls could avoid having all those, all right, so this is from an Eastern Conference veteran who's talking to Mike Wilbon. Here we go. If the Bulls could avoid having all those 6-7 minute scoring droughts, they'd probably be the best team in the league, but they can't, one Eastern Conference veteran told me Sunday night. And we all know every single thing they're going to run. Some nights they just execute at a level you can't stop, but you can't do that all the time in the playoffs, not against well-coached teams that lock it in defensively. end quote. That's a player or a vet in the, from the Eastern Conference basically saying the Bulls don't make any adjustments, basically saying that they're probably one of the easier teams to play against because they don't change anything. They don't surprise you. They just do their thing and, quote-unquote, work harder, right? Put your head down and work harder. To me, that's a microcosm of why this guy has been such a flame out in the playoffs, really. So, I don't know.
Well, can I say this, though? I don't really want to focus now on Tibbs anymore. Look, Fred, great discussion. We have to talk about what's going out, which we just did, and I think we have to talk now about what's coming in. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, and I don't like when there's coach talk. I've said this in the past. We've had a few coaches that have been fired and hired while we've been doing this podcast at this point. I don't like grating coaches. I don't really know as a whole. Like, if somebody's, like, really well-known, but there's not really that many of them in the NBA. I know that I don't want a coach that doesn't have NBA, at least assistant coaching experience. I'm fine with taking an assistant coach that comes from a system that you like. That's why Elvin Gentry, to me, look, Elvin Gentry, say all what you want to say, he's coached on bad teams. He's one of those coaches that's constantly coached crappy teams. So it's like now you're on the – he's been an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. He knows what Steve Kerr's been doing. I mean, I'd feel more comfortable with a coach that's coached before or an assistant coach than somebody like a Fred Hoiberg who has never been at this level before. Now, he was as a front office guy, but so was Vinny Del Negro. I mean, the fact is that for every – every Brad Stevens, there's 45 Tim Floyds for every Brad Stevens. And I don't think that it's a worthwhile choice unless, you know, even the Billy Donovan thing I think is a very risky move. And that's a very high-profile coach. I mean, that's a guy that's been very successful and won. I mean, Fred Hoiberg hasn't even really won. He's made a program that wasn't really good something good, but – you know, maybe Bulls management sees something in him. I don't know, but it's like I feel that it's very tough for you to be able to grade a coach at the college level and think that they've got the chops to be able to do it in the NBA because the time to win is whether – do I think that there's room to improve, Fred? I do. I think that what you said about people to change or the Delta, think about the Delta in Rose next year. Rose got considerably better as the season went on to the point where he was – one of the best players on the floor in the playoffs. Give this guy who hadn't played in three freaking years, who had to miss 30 games this season, who really spent over half of the season just kind of finding his way again, you know, to the point where, you know, he kept saying, you're going to see what I can do. You're going to see what I can do. And you know what? For all the criticisms people give him, we did. He was a much smarter player in the playoffs than he was during the regular season. He seemed to understand. Maybe he was just trying things out. Maybe he was trying to nail down what worked, what his game was. But I felt like he executed his game pretty perfectly towards the end of the season, but especially in the playoffs, especially against Cleveland. Give him an off season to work on his craft and to get everything, you know, to work out the loose kinks a little bit and let him come back next year after having played the whole year. And I think that Derrick Rose will again be the best player on this Chicago Bulls basketball team. I don't think there will be a question. I think Jimmy Butler's going to be the number two. And you've been hearing about this drama now between Jimmy and Derrick. These two guys got to talk, sit down. Who knows if it's real. But the go-to guy on this team, until you tell me otherwise, is Derrick Rose. The go-to guy who I'm going to trust the ball at the end of the game is Derrick. If you have a wide-open shot, maybe. But Jimmy Butler, man, come on. He had some terrible. He had that air ball. At the end of what? Was it game five? I think it was the end of game five. Jimmy Butler has not shown yet the ability to just close out games, which Derek routinely has. If you're talking big shots, you always need a pecking order. And the pecking order is Rose Butler next season. You have that. The Delta in the backcourt, I think, could be much better, especially with the fact that I think Rose is going to be better. Powell is a big question mark, man. I mean, he's a question mark. Now, maybe, though, you know, we look at all these injuries, the hamstring injuries, everything. Pau Gasol was injured in the playoffs. He was good all year. He worked great all year. I'm not going to say it was Tibbs' fault that Pau Gasol was injured in the playoffs, but he was injured in the playoffs. And things like that can be because of usage. You shouldn't be using a player that is 36 years old at, or is he 34 years old? What's Pau, 34? Fred?
I was 34, I believe. That's correct.
You shouldn't be using him 34 minutes a game.
No, I agree.
It's ridiculous.
You'll have a normal staying coach who'll play him at 8 to 30, and you'll see. I think you'll see him continue to produce well. You know, I've always said Pau's game is conducive to aging. He's excellent in the post. I don't think he was used enough there. I think he's going to remain as a great passer, a good rebounder, and a good scorer. He's not going to get any quicker, unfortunately, but, you know, against the right matchups, he's going to be awesome. And he was awesome last year. I think he was extremely underrated. I heard people said he was overrated. All right. Anytime he touched the ball in a playoff series against the Bucks, he was double-teamed. Please, don't tell me he was overrated. There's very few NBA players who, every time they touch the ball, get double-teamed. He was literally double-teamed every time he touched the ball against the Bucks in all six games in the post. So don't tell me he was overrated. He was underrated. He wasn't utilized correctly, and his minutes were too high. And the guy was the offensive glue. Our record was 0-2 in the playoffs without him. We were much better with him. So all that nonsense as an aside. But I agree with you, though, about what you said about Rose. I still think Rose should be our number one. I don't know if Jimmy thinks he's better or he's the, you know, number one guy. And I don't really buy that that's a big problem. Like, you know, I'm sure the Bulls were frustrated at the end of that game. But I still think Rose is the man on this team. And, you know, as Rose goes, we go. And Jimmy's great. He's a superstar. But I still don't think he's in that upper tier that Rose has reached. And I don't think he will be. You know, I think he's an excellent two-way player, excellent defender. But to me, he's not the kind of guy that he's going to be an MVP candidate like Rose once was. And I think can approach, again, not get to that level athletically. But I do agree with you completely that next year, you know, Rose is going to, again, be the man. And Jimmy's going to be the number two, you know, almost like a Scotty and Michael type of thing, probably, maybe. You know, I think that's probably a good analogy.
I'm just going to say that I'm interested to hear hear Pax and Gar when Tibbs gets fired.
Yeah, all they got to say is this. We thought it was insane that he had Joakim Noah and Taj out on the court up 40, King 4 against the Bucks. We thought it was insane that he averaged that Paul Gasol was in the top 25 in minutes played. I mean, they got a great case. Just lay it out. Lay it out. The guy proved he wouldn't change. He badmouthed the organization through his mouthpiece, Jeff Van Gundy. Get your ass out of here. And we didn't win enough in the playoffs over 5 years. He had a losing record in the playoffs. End of story. And everybody talks about all the injuries. Again, for the 1,000th time, he's partly responsible for the amount of injuries we had. When Noah missed games between 2011 and 2014, a lot of those missed games were due to the fact that he had a center averaging almost 40 minutes a game. Butler should not be playing leading the league every year in minutes played. You got alternatives at that position that you didn't use. So, I mean, they can make a fine case. I'm completely on management's side with this guy if he can't change his ways and he can't see that he needs to adapt to a modern society. And everybody also, one more thing. You think it's a great, great thing? Like, you know, I keep on seeing and reading, Tibbs got no time for women. Tibbs doesn't do anything but basketball. Basketball's his life. You think that's a great thing? Really? You think you want a manager like that or a coach or somebody's in a position of power over you whose literally whole life is based on winning and losing? Like, he doesn't care about anything else but basketball games. Like,
in the middle of basketball games in the middle of October.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, yeah, basketball games in the middle of January. You know, nothing else matters. I don't think that's a good thing. You know, I was reading a lot about Steve Kerr, how he runs practices, how they have fun, how they enjoy playing. I don't think the Bulls have fun with Thibodeau, even when they win.
No way.
Even when they win. I don't think it's an atmosphere conducive to winning. I think it's an atmosphere conducive to winning and grinding out regular season games. But when the competition is up, and you know, it's not. It's just not. It's been proven over and over again. So, you know, I've heard a couple guys on Twitter, you want to make the argument that he's never had a more talented team. I don't buy it. I really don't. I thought 2010 and 11, I thought that team was very, very good, had a very deep bench. And, you know, he had Korver playing 13 minutes in game 6 or game 5 against the Heat. And a bum like Bogans playing ahead of him. So there's been a lot of questionable decisions in that guy's in that guy's career. Warriors are closing in on reaching the finals. Looks like the Rockets could wind it down. It looks like it's going to be a Warriors-Cavs finals, and I tell you, it's going to be awesome, Mark. I can't wait, man.
I'm looking forward to it because this series, this round got a little stale. Neither of these were good series, so I'm excited to see the final. I think the finals would be a good series. I really do it. Look, the Cavs have proved a lot of things. The Cavs have proved this season that they're a lot deeper than we thought they were. They are not who we thought they were. I was trying to reference that Bears, that Arizona Cardinals coach that went off on the Bears so long ago. But anywho, the Cavaliers, I think they're a lot better than we thought they were. So I think that they're going to give Golden State a run for their money. You got a big break. I don't think the finals are for at least a week. Kyrie Irving, maybe if you can get Kyrie back, they definitely stand a chance because they're big. You got LeBron James. I mean, I think that you're going to be able to isolate a lot of their top talent. You're going to have two of the best defensive players in the league.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be phenomenal. It'll be exciting to watch. And I think kind of surprised
that LeBron wins. God.
That
does for his career.
Yeah, well, look at LeBron. I mean, look at him. He leads the Cavs. They win 19 games, I believe. Goes to Miami. They're immediately in a final after finals. Leaves Miami and they're a lottery team. Cavs are in the finals. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. You know, regardless of what you think about him, he's just amazing. I mean, it really is amazing, you know, to think what he's done. I mean,
that LeBron James would have gone to the finals if it was this LeBron James with the team that he went to the finals with back in whatever it was, 2009. I don't think that LeBron James would have gotten through the Chicago Bulls this year. That he has a much better team around him this year. And the fact is that team is there because he left. They wouldn't be there otherwise. And that means something. He didn't do what Jordan did and grow with a crappy team until they got the right pieces. That team, because he left and they were so bad, got Kyrie Irving. They got Anthony Bennett, which they were able to turn into assets. They got Andrew Wiggins.
That team was was 33 wins with Kyrie Irving last year.
Way better players than you had. LeBron, because the team was so good, was never able to get players like that back in the day. It wasn't until he left. It doesn't matter if you put LeBron James on you could pick some 30-win teams right now. The Sacramento Kings, you put LeBron on the Sacramento Kings, that team all of a sudden is 60. They're good enough where you put him on there, that team's a 60-win team.
I kind of feel like LeBron makes all these guys better. I mean, he puts so much pressure on the defense and he brings so much attention that it doesn't take a lot to hit open jumpers. And I'm not saying Shumpert's had, you know, nothing but open jumpers, but his life has made a ton easier with the fact LeBron James is attracting the best defenders on the opposition. J.R. Smith, I mean, come on. He's a very good player, and he gets into a couple of those zones where he hits a lot of shots. But overall, he's not a guy I'd want on my team. I mean, overall.
I disagree 100%.
You've always loved the guy. I know, but I mean, I'm just thinking.
Throwing it now. I think he's
definitely
it now.
He's definitely not an alpha dog. He's a supporting cast member.
That's
you
fine.
Know, and, yeah.
It's not needed. Let him be a supporting cast member. That's what he does. He does it well.
I don't know, man. Anyhow, what else we got? Because I need to get some beauty sleep. We've been doing.
Fred, I think it's time for beauty sleep. I don't think that. I mean, who do you pick in the finals?
You know, one thing I want to do, Mark, before we should do grades. We got to get final season, regular season grades. And,
wow.
Let's not do that now. Do it the next show. Everybody, send your grades in. I'd like to see some of your grades before we talk about it at chicagobullseye@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter @CDEFred. But, you know, I want to do that next show. I got the Golden State winning this in five. I really think they're going to just roll over the Cavs. I just think they're a far superior team, and you know you haven't seen anything until you see the West is far superior to the East. I just feel they're just gonna they'll roll them. What say you?
Golden State in six is what I'm gonna say. I mean, until we see Kyrie Irving at full strength, I find it unlikely that the Cavaliers are gonna be able to put up that much of a fight. But oh Jesus, I almost went seven, man, because I think that the Cavaliers have enough talent to make this a tight series. They might have enough talent for this to win. If Kyrie Irving can play and he is effective, I do think that this team has enough talent to win. And my God, if they win, what that's going to do for LeBron's legacy, because that's a very – it's definitely still a very – it's a big challenge for them. But I am going to pick Golden State in six.
All right, man. Sounds good. I agree with you. It's going to be fun to watch no matter what, seeing two of the best players. That's what, let's close on this one because I meant to ask you this. Give me your top five in the NBA right now.
Top five players?
Yeah, in order.
I'm still going to say
LeBron. Where do you got
Curry? Well, LeBron's number one. I think, like, okay, is this if I'm starting a team right now, or is this who do I think is the best?
I would say, like, for next year, like, who would you want in order for next year to
I think
to
I
play?
Go LeBron, Anthony Davis. LeBron, Anthony Davis. I mean, Kevin Durant, you're still going to probably have to put there. I mean, he didn't play this year. That's tough, but I'm still going to probably put him there. Curry could be... Right after that, I mean, who else is in the discussion that I'm missing right now? No one, really, I don't think. Curry's probably right there. I mean, one
well,
MVP.
What about Durant?
I put Durant in there. I put Durant ahead of Curry.
What Harden?
He's after Curry.
So, one more time.
He's not
going to
be right after Curry, necessarily.
LeBron?
Anthony Davis.
Curry?
No, it was Kevin Durant.
I got him ahead of Durant. I absolutely do. I have Curry ahead of Durant. He's a better shooter than Durant, no doubt about it. You know, Durant, I think he's better than Durant, especially now. I mean, who knows what Durant's going to look like after all these injuries. But
that's true. I mean, that's TBD, but I'm still going to say after one season of him only being gone, only one season, I'm going to have to still say that that I'm picking Durant.
No, not especially not after this year. Like, I mean, who knows what he's going to be like? In fact, that's probably
who knows. But
you're
when he played,
I would have
he was
Durant
really
number
good.
I would have Durant number five. All right, so one more time. LeBron, I would agree with you on Davis is two. I mean, and he's moving up quick. I might actually put Curry ahead of Davis just for one year.
Oh God.
I still think, yes, I hate to say it. I probably well, it's a tough call. I really think Curry's that good. I mean, he's that awesome. Obviously, he's the MVP. And I think Davis is a tad overrated offensively. A tad overrated offensively. Defensively, the guy's no doubt about it, incredible. But, I mean, Curry is probably the most devastating offensive foot. You have to guard that guy out 35 feet. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of pressure on a defense. And when you could shoot like that. The guy is just awesome. So I'm going to go LBJ, Curry, Davis, close third. I might go Harden and then Durant. I think I would go Harden and then Durant.
Oh, my God. Now you're just...